You're listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at www.svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Well, grace to you and peace this day from our risen Lord Jesus. Amen. Isn't it amazing that it was Paul, the persecutor of the Christians, who said in all of his letters, grace to you and peace. Interesting to think about how he got his beginnings. Grace to you and peace. Today we have two exciting post-resurrection accounts about two fundamental and foundational characters in the Christian church. Our New Testament reading that Vicki read and we told to the children, that story about Paul. And then the Gospel reading. We hear stories about Peter and Paul. One denied Jesus three times, you remember, around a different fire. Denied Jesus three times, saying that even though he loved Jesus and had never abandoned him, what does he do? He denies him and abandons him. The other, on the other hand, never claimed Jesus, never pretended. He was, in fact, a Jewish terrorist who was, with the authority of the state, hunting down and killing Christians systematically. She softened it a little for the children's talk. And that's how our beloved Apostle Paul got his start. This day and age, there are lots of what I would call ho-hum Christians. People who are kind of not there, but not gone. People who believe in God, but don't really dive into it, to use an image from the Gospel reading. Much more passive ways of denying Christ. But Paul, on the other hand, he downright didn't buy it, and he wasn't ashamed to say it. He was sure, he was angry. This reading from Acts is an important reminder that God can truly work with anyone. God can take anyone and turn our lives around. But personally, I've always had a hard time relating to this fantastic episode of Paul on the road to Damascus. I could sit in the stands and applaud this drama, certainly. Saul falling off the horse, the blinding light, the voice of Jesus, and the miraculous healing, baptism, and hospitality of the terrified Ananias. What an epic. Saul transforms into Paul. But it was hard to put myself into that story. It always has been. I haven't had my name changed. I've just been Dan this whole time. I never had that kind of dramatic experience with Jesus falling off a horse. Maybe you have had a dramatic turnaround conversion experience. Praise God. I've noticed that lots of Christian motivational speakers have such stories. They really keep me hooked in because they have these dramatic stories of practically falling off a horse, once being addicted to something awful, but then God swoops in and knocks them off their horse, and now everything is new. Praise God for those experiences. But there was a time in my life after hearing one of those amazing, what I would call sexy faith stories, that I kind of thought I needed something kind of like that myself, and I felt like, well, maybe I don't belong. Maybe this isn't the place for me. I don't have this dramatic conversion experience story. My experience is much more subtle. It started when my parents took me to church when I was 12 days old, and they sprinkled a little bit of water on my head. That's about it for my conversion story. Pretty simple, pretty boring. And then my life has been these gradual ups and downs in my journey with God, who has always been there, despite my own denials and my doubts and my struggles and my attempts at escaping God's presence and love. But for me, faith has been much less flashy and much more like having breakfast. Wish I could tell you my Saul to Paul falling off the horse experience, but I don't have one. So I'm glad that this gospel text talks about Jesus cooking breakfast for his disciples. Just cooking breakfast on the beach. Come have something to eat, Jesus says. After a night of long and unsuccessful fishing, come have something to eat. There's so many rich images in this passage from chapter 21 in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is kind of like a playground. because all the images are laden with symbolism and meaning. So I want to play a little bit here. I've always wanted to write a book based on this gospel text reading for today and kind of paralleling this story with the experience of worship, looking at the four parts of worship. Except looking at them as an evening experience and then a morning experience. So the first part of our worship service is our gathering and our word. Well, the gathering is a remembrance of baptism. Well, what do you do in the evening, especially those of us with kids? It's bath time and story time. And then there's a long night, and then the morning comes, where you get up and have some breakfast, and then you go out into the world. So there's the meal and the sending. We gather, we come home in the evening after a long day or a long week, bath time, story time, and then the night, this is the sermon. The night can be a peaceful time, a time for sleep, the sermon. For some. Yeah. I'm serious, though. It can be a very peaceful time, a time you hear a good word, or it can be a scary time, a time of wrestling with the word. That's certainly true, at least for me as a preacher, wrestling with the word and struggling with it. I think of Psalm 30, weeping spends the night, but joy comes in the morning. That's our psalm for today. The meal was in the evening before the resurrection, the Last Supper, but now it's at breakfast in this Easter season. Everything has become new, and so the meal comes in the morning, and then we are sent out. That would be my book idea, something along those lines. And this text, at the end of the Gospel of John, would be foundational, where the disciples gather. As Peter called them all together, let's go fishing. Then they struggled through that long night, only to be met by Jesus barbecuing in the morning, saying essentially at the end, "Go in peace, feed my lambs, follow me." At the end, "Have something to eat," Jesus says, and the disciples come in. And Peter gives us this wonderful baptismal image when he puts on his clothes. Did you catch that strange thing? He was fishing naked. He puts on his clothes, jumps into the water, and swims to shore. It might seem a little strange at first, but we just did this last week when we put on the creed. I know I've talked with confirmation-age kids about the Apostles' Creed as something we put on. We're putting on this belief. When we say the creed like we did last week, we're putting on this belief. I believe in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's like a great outfit. And then we get wet. Then we get splashed by those baptismal waters. We just did it last Sunday when Veronica was baptized. Peter puts on his clothes, then dives into the water. We too swim to the meal of Christ, through the waters of our baptism, to the table of the resurrected Lord. Bath and table, baptism and communion, rich, loaded, beautiful text. This one of Jesus making breakfast. I want to show you something. I did my internship in St. Louis, Missouri, and I did my internship in Lutheran campus ministry. So I was doing campus ministry and working part-time at a church, much like Agape House. We're going to support them this afternoon at the chili cook-off. I had a handful of times where I did something that I guess hadn't been done in that campus ministry before. I found in the campus ministry house where I worked, in the back, was this dusty old barbecue grill. I thought, we ought to use this, so I grabbed it and I dragged it around the side of the house and out to the front porch. And the house was right across the street from Washington University, so there were students always on their way to class. I thought, I'm just going to grill here, you know, and give food away. So I grilled some vegetables, a lot of meat and sausage, and I just give it to students. And I did it because we're trying to build up the program and just draw people in. I didn't think much of it. It was a lot of fun, and I like to grill. But my internship supervisor, he was the campus pastor, his name was John Laudis, a wonderful man, great scholar and theologian. He was always wanting to find biblical connections with everything we did. And he had this knack. He would always do that. And he had this wealth of biblical passages and stories in his mind. And he'd just always, hey, that's like in Luke chapter 54, you know, there's not even a Luke chapter 54. But he would just throw things out. And he was always doing this. Well, he was trying to do this for this little strange thing that I did of grilling out in front. And I'll never forget the day when he came up with what it was. He said, "I got it. I got it." And it was this text today that he recalled. John chapter 21, verse 9, he said, remember?
I'm going,
yeah. Where's my Bible, you know? It's Jesus grilling, he said. Jesus is grilling and giving food to people. Barbecuing is biblically sanctioned, he said. And at the end of my internship, he gave me this apron. I want to show you. Barbecuing is biblically sanctioned. Here it is. John chapter 21, verse 9. Jesus was there grilling over a charcoal fire. I'll have to wear this today to the chili cook-off, I think. It's wonderful. Jesus there grilling over a charcoal fire. I invite you to do a little grilling this week if you're not planning on doing that already. Do some grilling even at breakfast time and just get into this text. Read this text again. Cook some fish over a charcoal fire. And remember that not all our faith stories have to be sexy. They don't have to be like the amazing Paul's. They can be, and sometimes amazing things do happen, yes, and praise be to God for that. But most of the time, faith and being with God is more like just having breakfast in the morning. Something that gives nourishment to face the tasks that are before us. It's something simple. Jesus invites us after breakfast. Into the game, into the world. Come, follow me, he says. Talked a lot about myself this morning, but I have one more story that I want to share as we wrap this up. Micah, as many of you know, is playing baseball now, our 7-year-old. It is so much fun for me as a dad. I'm a little embarrassed to say how much I'm enjoying this, and I'm trying to just roll back and be a calm parent in the stands, but I am loving it. I am loving watching the games. Kind of like, I love watching those stories, like Saul turning to Paul from the stands, applauding. Oh, wonderful. Well, every game, I bring my glove in a little bag, along with some peanuts. And I'm usually, you know, eating the peanuts instead of playing with the glove. But I have it there, just in case coach needs some help coaching with the little kids. I told him at the beginning of the season, I'd be happy to help. Try to calmly say, I'd be happy to help, coach, if you need me, but I'm new to this, so I don't really know what I'm doing, but if you need someone. Well, he hasn't called on me, and we've had about 10, 15 games now, it seems like. Yesterday morning, there were no other parents around that could help on the field, and coach looks at me. I didn't even know he was looking at me because he had sunglasses on, but he said, hey, you want to come help out today? And I thought, oh, I was so excited. I was so excited. I'm like, Russell, I get my glove. I put my glove on just in case I needed to help, you know, warm up the kids. And I went out onto the field and I had this great experience. You know, it's fun watching Micah, but it's really fun being on the field too. It's a little different, however, being on the field versus being in the stands. And so I was talking to someone this morning about the difference in sort of being on the field and helping coach versus being in the stands. Maybe it's a little bit of a cliche, but I think it's a great one to the Christian life. And I experienced it firsthand yesterday. God calls us onto the field, not just in the stands to watch. God calls us out onto the field, and it's a little bit scary. We might not know what we're doing, but God says, come on, follow me. That's how this whole episode ends. Jesus says to Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, follow me, even though we know it's going to be hard. Come on out here. Jesus calls Peter. Jesus calls you into the game, from the small boat, from the stands. Jesus calls us and feeds us first, and then asks us to go and feed others, to feed the world with love and grace, with food and forgiveness. Jesus feeds us first with these good things and then says, follow me. So now we go. Now we go out, blessed and drenched, fed and forgiven, and always loved this day and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
From all of us at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit www.elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.